You're listening to 2A Radio with Bill Carnes. A touch too much.
So, over the weekend, British police arrested six guys. And these six guys were threatening the life of the Pope. Some sort of plot against the Pope. So, therein lies a good question for you there. These guys are all Islamic fundamentalists. Why are we just standing idly by while Islamic fundamentalists do their very best to really plot against the chief Christian on planet Earth? And it's okay with us. Now, what would happen if Christians got together and decided to take out clerics, imams, the Ayatollah, these different Muslim fanatics that are higher up in their church? I mean, how would that go down? Well, I don't know that it would really change much. We're already in a war with Islam. Now, I have to tell you, one of the sad facts of life is the leading cause of death for mankind in the history of mankind has been religious war. That is the single leading cause of death. More people have died due to religious wars. We're talking other than I would imagine absolutely everything comes down to there have been more deaths because of religious beliefs and people going to war over them. Because of religion. Religion, which is supposed to be happy-go-lucky, everything is nice. Right? Now, what is the one thing that God will not forgive for, as posed in the Bible? What is the one thing that God will not forgive for? It's not for hating him. It's not for taking his name in vain. The one thing that God will not forgive for is simply denying his existence. That's it. Absolutely denial of God's existence throughout life is the one thing he will not forgive for. Now, that's according to the Bible. Other than that, there's all kinds of stuff going on, but we, down here, non-celestial beings, would otherwise not forgive for all kinds of stuff and go to war over it. Now, remember the Crusades? Right? Now, that chapter in Christian living, I guess, has been closed. We don't do Crusades anymore. The Pope does not have his own army any longer, as it were. But when it comes to radical Islam, that's a different story. Folks, there's 20-some armed conflicts going on around the world. All but one of them has to do with Islamic fundamentalists, Muslims, not happy with their neighbors or someone else and going to war. There is a world war going on right now. As many countries and areas of the world that are involved, there is a world war happening. And it is Islam versus the rest of the world. Now, they haven't declared war on every single religion in every corner of the earth, because they have to win the battles that they're in now in order to move on. And who's helping them to win those battles? We are. Because we're not putting them down. Now, I'm not saying crush Muslims and crush Islam. That is far from it. I'm talking about the people that want to leave their little region and exert their religion on the rest of the world, and they bring it to our doorstep and pick a fight with us. Crush them. And let them know, look, guys, your way of life, your religion, all that good, happy stuff is just not for us. It's okay. We can live together. We can live in harmony. It's all great. We're just never going to see eye to eye the way things currently reign. So give it a rest. Give us a break. We got plenty more coming for you guys. Stay tuned. I'm your host, Bill Carnes. You're tuned in live right here to 2A Radio.
It's not an option. It's a right. Cocked, locked, and ready to rock the world of the anti-gunners. You're listening to the guy who had to register his mouth as a full auto weapon. Bill Carnes and Two-Way Radio. The fight for your rights isn't for pansies. So buckle up for the ride and knuckle down with Bill Carnes and 2A Radio.
Good morning, everybody. You know, the state of California is number one on the favorites list for the Brady campaign to completely smack away every gun-owning and gun-loving America and try to take their guns away. I think that's the official name. So the Brady campaign really loves the state of California. A, number one on their list, which means they're number 50 on ours, right? The gun-loving actual people who understand something about personal protection and using guns to that end. Now, in the case of the state of Illinois, I believe they're very jealous, and they would like to be number one, even though the McDonald case was handed down by the Supreme Court. It would still appear as though the state of Illinois wants to go even further to the left and further into infringing rights of guns. Gun owners, rather. So here's a little story about an auction that happened in Iowa. Now, Iowa borders the state of Illinois. At the end of the auction, the auctioneer stated that Iowa residents could take their guns that they had purchased right then and there at that day after they had gone through payment and paperwork and everything. However, any Illinois residents who had gone to Iowa to this gun auction would have to wait 24 hours. Now, several other states bordering Illinois have similar laws. Now, there is a requirement called a Firearm Owner's Identification, which is the FOID card. The FOID card requirement in Illinois that it has is basically a waste of taxpayers' money and time, and was essentially created by corrupt politicians for all of the wrong reasons. In no way does it hamper a would-be criminal or would-be murderer from buying a gun. Plenty of guns can be found in the classifieds and also online. You don't need a firearms owner's identification card for that. The FOID card should identify legal firearms owners and their ability to buy a gun. Cardholders in good standing should be able to buy rifle or shotgun with no waiting period. A state police background check, which takes just a few minutes, the Brady check, should still be implemented to weed out any potential illegal buyers. It makes no sense to make Illinois residents who already own 10 guns to wait 24 hours to buy a new one, especially when they're out of state. Well, you drive up for the day, go to the auction, you plan on driving back, but now you can't. Or you drive back, and then you've got to make a round trip again. Otherwise, you tell them, you know what? Go pound sand. I'm not waiting 24 hours. Now, the FOID card, in an opinion, should be done away with, along with all the corrupt politicians who implemented it, as it stands for Illinois hunters and gun owners, that they are criminals until they're proven innocent. That's the way it stands now. You are essentially a criminal until you can prove yourself to be innocent. That's the way they look at it. Meanwhile, anti-gun legislators are pushing some new bills to take away even more Second Amendment rights and infringe on them even further. Some want to ban all semi-automatic firearms. Why? That means Grandpa's 12-gauge Browning or that Ruger 10/22 sitting in the closet, well, that would make them illegal. They're also pushing a one-gun-a-month law. Now, in New Jersey, I believe they have a one-gun-a-month law. Some want to outlaw private gun sales, even though the Constitution protects that. Outlaw private gun sales even between family members. That means what Uncle Bob passes away, his gun collection, would have to be destroyed or buried with him, because he can't obviously sell them. Does that sound as stupid to you as it does to me? Absolutely ridiculous. Now, William Rawl said in 1829, no clause in the Constitution could by any rule of construction be conceived to give Congress a power to disarm the people. That includes the people at the state levels, guys. I've got to tell you. That includes at the state level. And for this whole thing to be going across state lines, and you can't buy a gun in this state until you've waited 24 hours. What is the deal with that? Are they upholding their neighbor's laws? I don't get it. We're going to allow our state residents to pick up the gun now. But if you're visiting our state from another state, well, sorry. You're not going to be able to pick up your guns today. All that really does, it really just causes the people from the visiting states to pretty much do away with even wanting to come there and participate. It really does. You know, when injustice becomes law, resistance becomes duty. Has anybody ever heard that before? When injustice becomes law, resistance becomes duty. Who's heard that? Raise your hands. You in the back. What is it? That's right. Thomas Jefferson. If we haven't seen injustice in law in this country, if we are not experiencing it, then I'm sorry. We just simply are too blinded to understand what injustice is. We have been prostituted by the people of yesteryear who have put the education system to what it is, who have bought and paid for the major news outlets the way they have, and now we simply are just dumbed down. Dumbed down. You know, I actually have a phrase on my business card. I have a business card. Right in the center it says, firearms stand next in importance to the Constitution itself. They are the people's liberty's teeth. That's what George Washington said. And I keep that on my business card, which of course had a photograph of me shooting a gun. And it couldn't be any better stated. The reason is that we the people, according to the Constitution, that, you know, that old raggedy bunch of paper mess that they signed, you know, back in the late 1700s, that actually guarantees true power lies in the hands of those who are governed. We give certain powers and certain authorities to those who are duly elected that are representatives. And they might be directly elected. They might be elected by some other form. What was the 17th Amendment, I believe, that actually made senators self, they were elected by the popular vote rather than being voted on by the state legislature to go serve. Huge mistake. Huge mistake. When the senators were appointed by the states to serve, they were duty bound to serve the best interest of the state in which they represent and the nation as a whole. The nation second, their state first, really. But now that they are elected, that means that they have to raise campaign funds. That means whoever gives them the most money gets to square away whatever vote they want. If you really think that you have a representative form of government by electing your senators, you're wrong. As a matter of fact, not only are you wrong, you're downright stupid. It goes well beyond wrong and ignorant to downright stupid. You do not get senators who show an interest first in their state, second in the good of the country. It is all about the business and the dollar. Okay? They're all corrupted by money. All of them are corrupted by money. Harry Reid, scumbag, filth, from the state of Nevada, the scourge of the state of Nevada, and Senate Majority Leader. We are so embarrassed in this state to have to claim Harry Reid, actually more so that he claims us. Born essentially in a dirty little mud hut in Searchlight, Nevada. Always been on the public payroll, worth millions. Millions. And that guy has always had a public job that didn't really pay that well. Even in the Senate, what do you make it as a senator, U.S. Senator? Like 140 grand a year? That's pretty good pay. But how does that make you worth tens of millions? It doesn't. It's all of the backroom deals, all of the payoffs that they as lawmakers have allowed to be legal. It is loophole corruption. That's all it is. It is loophole corruption. It is an entirely corrupt system. We need to repeal the 17th Amendment. At least then we would have senators that would be representing the state and the nation. We've got more to come dealing with this garbage happening in Illinois after the break. Stay tuned. You're going to want to hear because you don't want it to come to your state. I'm your host, Bill Carnes. You're tuned in live right here to 2A Radio.
Tell everyone in the room to pipe down. 2A Radio with Bill Carnes is back.
Well, welcome back. Now, the city of Chicago passed new legislation, city ordinance dealing with having a handgun in the home. Some of those provisions include you have to take a 5-hour course, 1 hour on the range, cleaning, you know, some legal regarding mumbo-jumbo, blah, blah, blah. You're only allowed to have one gun, has to stay in the home. You're not allowed to have it in the garage or on the rest of your property. You have to have a firearm owner's identification card from the state before you can even go through all of this. And you can only have one working operable handgun in the house at any one time. The others have to be inoperable. Okay. So that's their, what they call a common sense legislation in the city of Chicago. They also say in that very same token that there are no gun ranges allowed within the city. Well, there's a case within the city that says that, it's being argued by Alan Gura, and he is going against David Segal, who is of the city of Chicago. What it is they are going in to argue a motion for temporary restraining order against the city of Chicago. They're seeking a temporary restraining order so that Action Target, the Second Amendment Foundation, and the Illinois State Rifle Association can open a portable firing range in Chicago. The firing range, it's built on a trailer, which has bullet traps, bulletproof walls, sound dampening, and room for 3 shooting lanes. These types of ranges are often used in police training and for weapons demonstration. They also want to open up this range so people can meet the live fire requirements of the CFP, or Chicago Firearms Permit. So you need to have a state-issued firearms owner identification card, then a Chicago firearms permit in order to exercise a right. Now, unlike the NRA's case, which is Benson et al. Versus Chicago et al., this case has featured a frontal legal assault by the city of Chicago's legal department from almost day one. These assaults have been made with fierce counterattacks by Gura and Segal, along with some surprises of their own. To use an analogy, Benson is like the war on the Western Front during World War II, while Edsel is like the war on the Eastern Front. The latter was vicious and brutal, with no quarter asked or given. So, they are deep in the trenches on this one, showing that Chicago's new ordinance is completely bogus, and violates the entire McDonald decision. Now, remember, Heller, the Heller decision that came out in June of 08, McDonald was in June of 10, was incorporated. Heller was incorporated in McDonald. Calling to chime in on today's topics, we have Mark in Georgia on line 3. Mark, welcome to 2A Radio.
I do appreciate your concern about radical Islam, but I prefer to distinguish the fruit that is radical Islam from the root that is, you know, it's like I was reading this email that said all these
Mark, hold on. We're well beyond that. I will probably get back to that topic maybe later in the week. So can you call back then?
Well, in that case, let me share with you what I may. Just recently we had a meeting where basically we, the body in the state of, in the Republic of Georgia, let me clarify that, we basically resigned from what was formerly called the Restore America Plan, and we were cautioned against saying anything that might be misconstrued. There are going to be some public announcements made in the near future, and in the meantime, like I've been known to say, and I hope you appreciate the humor of this, you can get things straight from the horse's mouth, or you can go to the other end of the horse, and you're going to get what you have coming. So I will simply say republicofunitedstates.org is where you can get primary information about basically we're going to be people are going to be resigning themselves from the de facto system and informing a new republic that will adhere to the organic constitution. I take it you approve of that, right?
Absolutely, without a doubt.
Yes. So in resigning, it basically what I was told, something to the effect of the de facto system will no longer have jurisdiction. Now, my impression is that if you do something that causes injury to somebody, say you damage their property, you do them some kind of legitimate harm, not, oh, well, you hurt my feelings, that can give them jurisdiction. And if you walk into their jurisdiction and accept their jurisdiction, you can really screw yourself over. So you have to be very careful not to sign anything. Like when the cop says, you're just signing that you understand the charges against you. And it's like to stand under means you're admitting, you're accepting their jurisdiction.
Correct.
So what needs to be understood is that that doesn't mean comprehend, understand. It means to submit to their jurisdiction. So this is one of their doublespeak things that if you don't understand how they're, they may not even know how they're playing with words because that's what they've been trained to do.
Correct.
And they're
very
thinking
correct
that it means one thing when it really means something else. You can appreciate that, yes?
Absolutely. Well, having been a cop, I totally appreciate that.
Yes. So I guess, like I say, maybe I ought to prepare a statement that I say this to
Mark,
convict.
Do me a favor. Yep. Shoot me an email. We'll have you on as a guest because you've got a lot of good stuff. And it's more than just a phone call in the midst of a segment we'll do. Bill@2aradio.com. Guys, thanks very much. We're going to be right back. We're going to carry on with some of this garbage going on in Chicago. By the way, I had said that David Segale was with the city of Chicago. No, he's fighting with Alan Gura against the city. So a little clarification there. Stay tuned. Plenty more to come. I'm your host, Bill Carnes, right here on 2A Radio.
You're listening to a guy who packs a gun to shoot the bad guys and packs a mic to shoot his mouth off. Bill Carnes and 2A Radio are back.
Welcome back. Now, I'm going to read an article to you that says, should we believe police who tell us that gun laws don't infringe on a constitution? Well, I think that's a pretty obvious no, but here it goes. Gun reporting laws, gun registration sort of laws, gun reporting laws, don't infringe on the Constitution. According to the Wilmington Department of Police Captain Nancy Dietz, as she assures us as her contribution to Delaware's online Constitution Day observance. Okay, so she posted that. Gun reporting laws don't infringe on the Constitution. She tells us of the graduation ceremony for department recruits. She says, with the official recitation of the oath of office, which requires each new officer to swear to enforce all state and local laws and support the Constitution of the United States of America. Then she tips her hand. She says, clearly, the principles enshrined in the Constitution have evolved, and the courts have provided changing interpretations of the law as society faces new challenges. Okay, so what this is she's talking about the idea, the false idea of the living, breathing Constitution. As society evolves, as we come across with new technology, new needs of society, new ideals, that the interpretation of the Constitution should change. Wrong answer. If you read the actual founding documents and the supporting writings of the founding fathers, there is only one way you can possibly conclude how to interpret the Constitution. One way and one way only. There has been no gray area left whatsoever. It is black and white. Let me provide this to you, Captain, and any of you other nincompoops that haven't learned this yet. And it's the, I don't really blame you for not learning, because the fact of the matter is, you, Nancy, and the rest of the nincompoops that believe the same way you do about this living, breathing Constitution have never read the entire Constitution, have never read the Declaration of Independence, have never read the Federalist Papers, and have never read the writings of the Founding Fathers who developed and implemented all of these documents and created this country due to that pen being mightier than the sword. Let me sum the whole thing up for you. The only way, after having done all of the research and read all of these wonderful historical documents, which everyone should be intimately familiar with, as you said, the new recruits have to swear to uphold and support the Constitution of the United States. Have they read it? The answer is no. You don't require them to read it when they're in training. You've never read it, obviously, Nancy. Now, here's the deal. If you read all of these papers, you can come to one very simple conclusion. And that is, the only way to interpret the Constitution of the United States is to interpret it in the eyes and the mindset of the men who wrote it, in the era in which they wrote it, considering what they went through to get to the point of being able to write it, and their intent to govern a brand new emerging republic, a new nation from it. That is the only way to interpret the Constitution. Period. There's no discussion after this. There really is none. If you actually do your research, I would challenge anyone out there. I know school just restarted. I would challenge anyone and everyone out there that next summer, when your kids are out, between now and then, and I don't mean scramble in late May, I'm talking between now and then, work to get everything together so when your kids are out of school next summer, the challenge that they have is to become familiar with the Declaration of Independence, become familiar with the Federalist Papers, become familiar with the Constitution of the United States, and become familiar with the men who wrote it. The actual people who wrote the Constitution. I have a great book that has no more than a page or two. It's a couple of pages each on each of the Founding Fathers. And it's a great book. It really is. Matter of fact, I'm looking over my shoulder to see if it's here in the studio. I think I see it. I can probably grab it at the break and talk about it in the next segment. Challenges for your kids. Say, hey, you know what? Let's learn a little bit about Samuel Adams. Let's learn a little bit about Thomas Jefferson. And learn with them if you don't already know. If you're already tuned up, if you're listening to this broadcast on this network, then you're probably already fairly well tuned up. Doesn't hurt to brush up a bit. Get your kids involved. So that when they have their next summer break, you can actually have them learning something about the foundation of this country, something that will probably allow them to challenge some of the curriculum that their teachers are teaching, because their teachers haven't read any of these papers. So, again, this Captain Nancy Dietz, D-I-E-T-Z, Nancy S. Dietz of the Wilmington, Delaware Police Department. She says that, again, clearly the principles enshrined in the Constitution have evolved. We've evolved principles, and the courts have provided changing interpretations of the law as society faces new challenges. So there's the lefty response. So, I see. A career. Only one bureaucrat is using sleight of mind to stump for more gun control and relying on those that she addresses not to see through her article and know any better. Now, here's where she's leading us. Despite opinions to the contrary, our Constitution is a living document that was intended to safeguard our rights. It embodies freedom, equality, justice, security, and protection of our nation's core values. Enacting state gun laws that are reasonable and helpful to law enforcement will not diminish the principles of the Second Amendment and the allegations inferred by the Constitution and its fathers. That's what she's saying. The only thing contrary to her assertion are opinions. Captain Nancy Dietz, along with Al Gore, who said it, I believe, isn't that? Who's someone else that's talking about other garbage? The whole global warming garbage? He went away now. Now it's called global climate change, because some places it's hotter, some places it's colder. So now the earth itself is evolving, the Constitution should evolve. You're so far off in left field, I don't know what to say. I really don't. Here's the deal. The Second Amendment and the entire Constitution was around well before any cops were ever in this country. So we don't now subvert rights and allow some sort of police authority to take over the term law enforcement. God, I hate that. It should be peace officer or police. Peace officers are there to keep the peace, right? If the peace is not being kept, well, then they go and they do something. Policing, a little bit further. You're actually out there looking for breaches of peace. Law enforcement, totally different. All of these laws are backing us up, and we are going to enforce them upon you, the general public, the general population. Law enforcement is a horrible term. I don't know who came up with it, and I hate hearing it, especially out of a cop's mouth. I go to a weekly meeting with a big group of people, and one of our regular attendees is the sheriff, who's a great guy, very constitutional sheriff. Sheriff Tony DeMeo of Nye County, Nevada. There's actually some videos, I think a segment of three videos, all about 10 minutes long on YouTube, dealing with a situation where a fraction of the U.S. government was coming into Nye County onto a man's property and stealing his cattle and then auctioning them off, selling them, keeping the money, stealing his property. No due process at all. Well, Tony DeMeo put an absolute stop to that. It's good stuff. If you have a half hour of time, go to YouTube, search Tony DeMeo, D-E-M-E-O, Nye County, N-Y-E. Check it out. Take a look. Now, the only thing is that when Tony speaks, oftentimes, of course, he uses the term law enforcement. I mean, this guy's been a cop of some form or another for 30 years or more. And law enforcement is a term that came out in the 70s, I believe. So he uses the term law enforcement. Drives me up the wall. Law enforcement. We're going to enforce the laws. Anyhow. So back to this quack Captain Nancy. She's saying that because she's a cop, she ought to know that anti-gun laws don't infringe on the Constitution. Okay. Can you please just recite a few lines from the Constitution itself? Please give us maybe a couple areas of the Constitution. What is the intent of the Constitution? The intent of the Constitution is to let Congress, let the government, actually, the entire government, know what their limits of powers are. It says you have these powers. However, they end there. Anything not specifically enumerated right here in this Constitution, you're not allowed to do. If it's not specifically spelled out, you don't have the power or authority. It's reserved for the states or the people. What the government would like to say is, we retain all the power. And unless your rights are enumerated, you don't have them. You can see where this thing got flipped on its head. The reason it got flipped on its head is this. The ultimate power and authority was given to the people. The people, you and I, have been responsible since the inception of this country to keep the government in check. Have we? Oh, not by a damn sight. Are you kidding me? We actually ended up allowing the regulatory branch to be created by an efficiency or a dysfunction of the legislative and executive branches coming together and allowing this new regulatory slash administrative branch to come out. That means Congress passes a law, it gets assigned to some regulatory agency who writes regulations, and that regulation now has full force and effect of the law when it was never passed by a legislative body. And can, in many cases, be created by a single sole bureaucrat, a hired person, an employee of the government, an employee of you and I, as it were, who decides to say, okay, this is a new regulation, has the full force and effect of a law. One man, one person, one woman, whoever it is sitting in that chair, has the authority to affect all of our lives, potentially. One person, unelected, and without any other controls above them. Except maybe the president could ask for their resignation. Why can't the president just fire people? I'm going to ask for your resignation. You ask all you want, I'm not giving it to you. Oh, you're fired. Can you actually fire someone? I don't get it. I don't understand that. Asking for a resignation. What, you're going to ask me to quit? What is that? So they don't get qualify for unemployment benefits? Is that it? I've worked with different companies, and I've seen several companies that they don't fire people. They do their very best to never fire people. They just, management creates such an unbelievable work environment for them so that they'll quit, so they don't have to pay unemployment. So, just, I guess, if you have somebody that you want to can, just can them. I mean, seriously, really? You got to play games? Do you really have to play games? That shows a lack of integrity on my part. Just a huge, huge lack of integrity. The people that I know who would do this sort of thing, different companies I've worked for, bosses I've had, or companies that I have seen because I've known people who've worked for them, total lack of integrity on their part. Oh, we don't want our unemployment insurance to decline. Well, then you either retrain the person. You have a talk with them, let them know what's going on, or you can them. I mean, come on. How difficult is that? If you made a bad hire in somebody, learn to hire better. That's all I got to say. Learn to hire better. If you don't know how to hire employees, maybe you should learn a little bit better. I had a general manager one time before I became general manager, and this guy was a good guy. Couldn't hire to save his life. Part of the reason was he kept hiring his friends, his country club friends, male and female, his buddies, people he'd worked with before that they were chummy, would have lunch and share drinks on the weekends. He would hire these people to do jobs, and then they wouldn't do their jobs very well. And every time we had a problem with this, I would take a copy of How to Hire Much More Effectively, which is published in Inc. magazine. And I would go hand it to him. I was handing him a copy of this about every 6 to 8 weeks. It got to the point where I had probably handed him 7 or 8 copies. And I asked him, have you ever actually read this article that I've handed to you so many times? Do me a favor. I'll have him hold your calls for the next hour while you read this. Here's another copy. I had a stack of these copies in my desk. I don't know how I digress to this. I really don't. We were talking about Captain Nancy What's-Her-Name in in Delaware that decided to say that, you know, anti-gun laws are not unconstitutional. They are constitutional because the courts have evolved and they're touchy-feely. It's a load of garbage. Don't ever get an opinion from your servant whether or not what they're doing is okay, because your servants don't know. You tell your servants how things go. Stay tuned. More to come after the break. If you live in a state which allows Class 3 NFA firearms and accessories, and you either have an interest in or already own Class 3 NFA items, the process for an individual to own these items includes photographs, fingerprints, obtaining a letter of permission from your police chief or sheriff, and a full personal background check which is spread across the whole federal system. Until now. Forming an NFA trust eliminates the requirements of letters of permission and all personal data and background checks in purchasing and possessing NFA firearms and accessories. NFA trusts offer a level of anonymity as well as flexibility in the purchasing, possessing, and storage of your Class 3 NFA firearms and accessories. To learn more about forming a secure and flexible NFA trust at a fraction of the cost from attorneys, visit www.billcarnes.com and click on the NFA tab. That's BILLCARNS.com and click on the NFA tab.
As long as politicians attack our rights, Bill will be fighting for them. Two-Way Radio with Bill Carnes is back.
Back on!
And welcome back. I did find this book I spoke about in the last segment. It's called Signers of the Declaration of Independence. And then the subtitle, Builders of a Nation Series, Book 1, by Ed Mason, the Columbus Dispatch. Now, this book was copyrighted and printed back in 1975. And of course, not that we have much to change. These men have been dead for a very long time now. However, keep in mind that this book has all sorts of information on the Declaration of Independence and the men who signed the Declaration. William Whipple, Matthew Thornton, John Adams, Elbridge Gerry, Roger Sherman, a lot of names that you probably don't actually recognize. William Williams, I always loved that. I knew a guy named Will Williams. Oliver Wilcott, William Floyd, Francis Lewis, John Witherspoon, Abraham Clark, John Morton, a lot of names you might not actually be familiar with that actually signed the Declaration of Independence, which was the beginning of the founding of our country. By the way, you may have heard the news that Obama, in a speech, and you know all of his speeches run off a teleprompter, so it's all scripted, was speaking to some Hispanic caucus or another, and actually was quoting a part of the Declaration of Independence, but right in the middle left out the phrase, endowed by their creator. Completely omitted. Those four words, completely omitted. Then he has the gall to actually walk across Lafayette Park and take his family to church the very next day. So on Saturday, he's standing up there giving a speech, maybe it was Friday, giving a speech to a Hispanic caucus, quotes the Declaration of Independence minus the words endowed by their creator. And it's interesting that whoever wrote the speech and put it up on the teleprompter either intentionally left it out or he left it out. But if he didn't leave it out, he didn't say, he didn't omit the endowed by their creator because he doesn't know what the Declaration of Independence says. The President of the United States doesn't know or won't honor it by actually quoting it. Can you believe that? That is subversion right there. If I have ever seen subversion, that right there to me is an impeachable offense. And we're dealing with this. You can actually go online and read about this. There's even YouTube video showing it where he misses just completely doesn't have on the teleprompter, and I can look at the picture and see he's looking off to the teleprompter. Somebody did not put endowed by their creator in there. And Obama just rolls off. The Bahrainian president, welcome to America. My goodness. When are we going to wake up and start smelling the burning Constitution? Thanks, guys.
I'd like to close by saying, to those of you within our government, we will be watching you in Congress, the executive, and judicial branches all very closely as we organize to save our freedom, liberty, and country. We will not become the subjects of governmental rule.
Thanks for tuning in. Bill will be back tomorrow. Now go side in and shoot straight. The two-way radio show with Bill Carnes. Learn more about Bill at BillCarnes.com. Send your comments to Bill at 2WayRadio.com. I will not.